Today on Jay Secchio Live, the ACLJ fights back against California's church singing band. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Secchio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
So while we are talking to you live on the air right now, we have a team of attorneys working with attorneys in California as well at the ACLJ who are preparing to file a lawsuit against the state of California for what is a ban on singing in places of worship. And online at ACLJ.org, and this is just great to see the grassroots support, over 41,000 of you in less than 24 hours. We did not post this petition until about maybe 24 hours ago. While we were live on the air yesterday and you were just hearing about this, over 41,000 of you have signed the petition at ACLJ.org that says don't ban singing in church. We've got a new blog up at ACLJ.org as well. And the blog has something I think really important. And it's a great blog to share. It says ACLJ defending religious liberty against new California singing ban that specifically aims to silence churches worshiping. And we quote scripture, Psalm 102, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. And then we have a caution, the actions in this verse are no longer permissible in the state of California.
And that's because California has basically outlawed singing and chanting, no matter the size of your worship center, no matter how few people are there. In fact, the way their law reads, you could have a 5,000-seat worship center. You could have only 100 people there under the law. So you could really space them out. You'd hardly see them. You could have two people on the podium area singing 25, 30 feet apart wearing a mask. And that's a violation of California's law. That's illegal under California law. So, we have been supportive of attempts to protect our citizens. When it gets to absurd, we would told you we would file suit. This one has managed to get to absurd. So along with our friends at Advocates for Faith and Freedom, Bob Tyler, who we've worked with for over two decades, we are going to be filing a federal lawsuit probably tomorrow morning, seeking a temporary restraining order followed by a preliminary injunction to get this prohibition stopped. Now, in saying that, understand this. You're in California, so I'm not expecting a hospitable environment for litigation, which means it goes to the Ninth Circuit, which I will reiterate is not a hospitable environment for this kind of litigation. It goes to the Supreme Court. In the one case they had, they ruled 5-4 against the church. Now, this is different. This is a different situation and at a different time. So we'll see how the case progresses. I'm still optimistic we can get a TRO along the way here because this is such an outrageous act on behalf of the government here. It says you must not. I mean, Jordan could read it. It's very clear.
Yeah, so this issue, we went back and we looked at, and so the initial guidelines that came out were June 12th. So it was only 3 weeks ago. Things keep changing rapidly with COVID-19 and how to respond to the pandemic. We understand that. But on June 12th, they said, we strongly consider discontinuing singing, group recitation, other practices and performances where there's increased likelihood for transmission from contaminated, exhaled droplets. So to modify practice, limit the number of people reciting or singing, not mandating that there be no singing, but just limit the number of people. And these were suggestions, considerations. Can't file lawsuits against considerations. State can put out consideration about whatever they want, basically, because they can't enforce them. It's just kind of recommended guidance. Okay, may not like it, but doesn't matter because it has no teeth. Here, in the new regulations, notice the term is regulations, they use the word must. Now, California can do one of two things. They could quickly say, wait, we used the wrong word there. We were not intending to use a word that looked like it was a legal requirement. I doubt that with California, but they still could do that. Or they're going to try and fight and say that this is a new mandate. This that came out in July is a mandate. No more recommendations anymore. The places of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities, regardless of the size of your place of worship, leaving no decision up to, it's not a recommendation, it's a must, it's a mandate. Sign the petition at ACLJ.org and support the work of the ACLJ during our matching challenge. Donate online, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, and a lot more folks too at home right now, working from home, offices that have not reopened yet, kind of schedules that are not coming together the way they usually would, kind of post-4th of July when you start preparing for the fall. And so because of that, we encourage you, share this broadcast with your friends and family. Be surprised how many more people are available right now to watch broadcasts like ours and are interested to find out what exactly is going on outside of what just the news is kind of harping on day in and day out with COVID-19 restrictions and numbers that may or may not impact you depending on where you live in the country. This is the kind of news that does, because if you allow California to ban, mandate, to require that there be no singing and chanting, and it's interesting they use those two terms. So singing takes out most Christian Protestant denominations from their kind of worship, and then chanting takes out all the liturgical religious groups who do chanting.
Includes Jewish groups, Jewish, Orthodox, Catholic.
Orthodox Christianity, Catholic, yep. Some Protestant, Islamic as well. So you've got, again, basically, and also that includes Hindu,
it's a
Hindu
ban.
Church.
Yes, it's a singing ban if it's religious.
Yes, which is actually...
Are they stopping singing, by the way, on the streets in protests? I would hope not, because that's constitutionally protected.
But really what this does is it bans the practice of religion at all, because there are some religious groups that this makes up the majority of the service. And many Eastern religions where this would be the entire service. I think about the Hindu service where chanting is kind of how it goes throughout the service. So if you're kind of someone who is interested in religion and world religions, you know about that, you realize when you put those two terms together, no singing, no chanting, you're talking about a total targeting of religious belief and expression and worship specifically. And you're not just recommending that, hey, there should, in June, mid-June, so less than a month ago, California was, maybe you should spread out, maybe you shouldn't do it if you can't. But it was just a recommendation.
Right.
Now it is using words like must. Places of worship, this sounds very legal, must therefore discontinue. That's a very legal three words right there.
No, it's setting forth a condition.
Different people wrote this.
That is, you can't do this. Now, I find that here's the analysis. You have protests on the streets and cities throughout the United States. Protests that are not violent are, of course, protected speech under the First Amendment. I've defended them and would continue to defend them. There are now social distancing requirements being placed on outside areas. For instance, I know in Tennessee and Florida and some other states, they're starting to do that. One of those is that you must wear a mask when you're outside. So you take your mask and you wear it when you're outside. Now, people can still sing and they can still chant. Are the police going to, are they going to pass a resolution saying no singing, no chanting, because that's going to get droplets in the air while you're outside in a closer quarters? And the reason they would lose this is that singing and chanting are protected activities under the First Amendment. So that's number one on the list. Number two, isn't it ironic that they're in these protests that are going on, you had medical experts say, well, that's not likely to spread from that. And then it did spread. Well, there's been an increase. Whether it's relatable to that, we don't know. I defend the right for the protesters to protest, including holding signs, chanting, singing. What I don't like, of course, obviously, we're condemning the violence, but for the most part, these 90% of it has been very much according to traditional free speech activities. I support the free speech activities. These groups have the right to engage the streets and sidewalks in free speech activities. I would defend that. I've defended that for 40 years. I will also defend a church's or a synagogue's ability to chant under safe conditions inside their own worship center. And that's really what we're talking about. Even if they're social distancing, even if they're wearing a mask, you can't do it.
No, I mean, this is, again, it's getting to a point here where there's no, there's, this is not a, you got to wear a mask if you're going to do singing. This is not a, this is a singing ban on top of there's been mask mandates. And so now, and there's fines for that. Even
but are they going to enforce the mandates of masks on the protests outside in those locales that have that requirement?
Well, that's been the big question. So like,
which protects everybody, including the protesters.
For the last few weeks, now some of these beaches shut down, but in Miami, I know it was in Miami-Dade County, there was a $50 fine, then it went up from there. In other places, it was $300 fines, it went up from there. But was anyone actually getting these citations? I mean, that's the question. Now, in one county in Tennessee, which is a suburban county, it's a Class A misdemeanor now.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of exceptions to it. So many exceptions that I'm not sure how law enforcement could enforce it, because it's like, well, but if you could if you were in a place where you could social distance, so if you're pumping gas, you don't really need to wear a mask. It's 98 degrees outside. You don't need to wear a mask. But if you're going to go inside the store and you can't social distance. Now, a lot of gas stations, you can social distance. You don't have to be right. It's these are very bizarrely written rules. This one, though, is pretty clear.
Well, it's very
because
clear.
It says places of worship must therefore discontinue. It doesn't say everywhere.
By the way, is there an exemption?
No, there's no exemption.
Lots of exemptions in these laws, except when it comes to the religious institutions. Now, Thad, in Washington right now, you still have protests on the street. Is there what is the standard right now if you're outside wearing a mask? What's the rule on that? Is there one?
There's not, Jay. You can be outside. You can be chanting. You can be singing. There is no ordinance against it. And look, I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
What I'm talking about is like if you're outside, if you're walking down the street, now, in some locales, you have to wear a mask. The citizens.
You do not in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
There is no requirement.
Okay.
And I think that underscores the point you've been making, Jay, that if you're going to have a restriction on one First Amendment activity, then that has to apply equally to others, and we're not seeing that. And, Jay, I just also would underscore what Jordan talked about the June 12th order, because I think that very clearly shows that this was not an accident. The July 1st order that restricts the singing, that prohibits the singing, it's very clear. But, Jay, it's also intentional, because initially there were accommodations. They said you could move the activity outside, or you could consideration. It was not a mandate. This change to July 1st to outright prohibit it just for places of worship, Jay, I think we've got to be very clear. It was not an accident. They considered whether or not to make accommodations, and they chose not to.
No, they could have granted exemptions, like if you're meeting the social distancing requirements, that would be fine, or you have to increase the social distancing required if you're near the choir or you're near the cantor or the chanter. People would understand that. One of our friends on Facebook said, why can't you sing with a mask on? You can. I mean, people are. I mean, it's just part of it. But there are no exemptions under this California. None.
No, they want to shut down churches. I mean, so
that's really what
if you have no singing or chanting, you're shutting down churches, other religious practices and faiths, because they cannot do their service. There's like no way to do the service without chanting. There's no way to do the service without singing. And so I believe, again, regardless of where you are on these mask mandates, regardless of where you are on this requirements and how weird the government's been putting forward these laws at the local and state level and how hard they are to follow or understand, or are they recommendations? Are they guidelines and recommendations? Or are they mandates? This one is a mandate.
No doubt.
That's how it reads. It says you must, therefore. When you use the words like must, therefore, discontinue, that is a mandate. That's like a demand letter from the government to you. to your church, exactly to your religious institution, so must therefore discontinue.
I am, for our audience that's listening on radio, I'm wearing a mask right now. Now, you hear me pretty well, I think. For those on TV and on Facebook or website or our social media platforms, I'm wearing a mask. You can hear me. I can't sing, so you're lucky there. But you can certainly sing with a mask on. It may not be the perfect way to do it, but we're not living in perfect times. The reality is, and this is the problem, this is using, remember I said that these governments need to use a surgeon's scalpel in dealing with regulations on speech. Very precise, very clear. Don't use the butcher knife. Don't lose in the Supreme Court jurisprudence, they said it's the scalpel of a skilled surgeon versus the bludgeoning blow of a butcher's knife. And then when you're dealing with free speech activities, and that includes the church and that includes protesters outside, protect the speech. Time, place, and manner is all you can do. They have to be reasonable and content neutral. These aren't.
I would love to get to 50,000 by the end of the show today on ACLJ.org and our petition, Don't Ban Singing in Church. You can sign that at ACLJ.org. We're at over 44,000, so we've added 2,000 more since we've been on the broadcast today. We come back, we'll start taking more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Explain this more, because I think that, again, that if you missed the broadcast yesterday, as people are kind of getting back into flow post-July 4th, and I know who we're talking to, a lot of you, it really does depend on what state, what county you're in, what city you're in, about where you are back. Are you back at work? Are you back in kind of your schedule? And it is midsummer anyway, so your kids wouldn't be on the same kind of schedule. But I know a lot of camps canceled, a lot of the normal activities that aren't going, that aren't happening. I mean, I'm just getting the school schedules for the fall for our kids, and it is a totally different schedule than they've ever done before in the school's, you know, nearly 100-year history.
Nobody knows if that'll be the schedule.
And
in
they
6
still,
weeks.
It all says, none of this is confirmed yet. This is where we hope to start. This is where we hope to get to, but no promises on any kind of events, no promises on any of the outside activities, on the normal part of the school year that you would be used to having. So planning is very difficult right now. And then when you put on top of that, week after week of new mandates and new rules and requirements and recommendations, that's tough enough on businesses. But then when you do a mandate like this on churches, which we're already having a tough time dealing with the limitations in people that can attend, now saying you have to discontinue, stop singing and chanting. No exceptions. Stop singing and chanting. If you disagree with this and you're ready to join us, we're about to file the lawsuit, folks, at the American Center for Law and Justice. So here we go. Here's your chance to stand up against the tyranny of these states that are trying to use this pandemic to change our nation, to see if the government can shut down religious worship and get away with it. We say no at the ACLJ. Do you stand with us? Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we're talking about California's attempt to ban singing at church. As we say in our blog, we quote Psalm 102, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. It's why in most churches, the first thing you will hear as you walk into the church, oftentimes before the service has technically begun, is the choir's already singing, the music is already playing. Why is that? Because of that verse in Psalm 102 that already to come into the presence, you use singing. It's part of the religious worship service. And we say in the blog, caution, the actions in this verse are no longer permissible in the state of California, the most populated state in the United States of America. I want to go right to the phones. Robert in Maryland, online one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hi, Robert.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan, and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask you, I wanted to know what prompted the state of California to issue this particular mandate, yeah. And did this come directly from the governor, Gavin Newsom? And if this were a racial discrimination type of situation, do you believe the media would be covering this a lot more thoroughly?
Well, I mean, it did get coverage because I think even the media was shocked that they were going to target churches the way they did. So, look, the governor actually is in charge of it. Now, it came through their health and human services. Their public health officials did this. And it's the typical governmental one-size-fits-all. No matter what size your worship center is, you can have no more than 100 people. It's 25% or 100 people, whichever is less. So, as I said, you can have a 5,000-seat worship center, and you can only have 100 people. Okay. With those 100 people, you can't have anybody singing. Not the cantor, not the chanter, not the choir. Not a choir of two people. So they've specifically here targeted a form of worship that is central to the practice of the worship experience. And that's where that is not reasonable. It's not neutral, time, place, and manner. It is not meaning a compelling governmental interest because it's one size fits all. And it's certainly not the least restrictive means. Those are the legal tests on whether these kind of restrictions are constitutional. Joining us by phone is our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. Professor Hutchinson, from a policy perspective, obviously this is unconstitutional, but it really does, as Robert said, really does look like it's targeting the churches.
I think you're precisely correct, Jay. This is an intentional, premeditated, and willful attack on churches. The state of California has leveled quite simply, a sledgehammer on churches and church attendees. And it is clear beyond question that it fails to meet any recognized constitutional test. This approach willfully discriminates against church attendees in favor of individuals who are outside protesting, who are outside chanting. These types of attacks on churches are indeed intolerable. And so we have now reached a point wherein no longer can church attendees make a joyful noise unto the Lord over all the earth. No longer can they come into his presence with singing. This is so because such conduct is no longer permissible in the state of California, even though it is indeed permissible under the United States Constitution.
Yeah, I think this points, and this is, you know, Harry, I used the example, I don't know if you caught the earlier segment of the broadcast, but I've defended street protests, civil disobedience for 40 years. I mean, I've had a long history of defending free speech activities on sidewalks, public places. And reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions in some jurisdictions now are including that when you're outside, you wear a mask. So the protesters would have to wear a mask. And that doesn't stop their ability to sing or chant. Only if you're in the church does it prevent the singing or chanting. But there seems to be a real double standard here, Harry.
Absolutely. And so I think your analysis is spot on. Reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions are indeed constitutional. In addition, however, the Constitution does require equal application under the law. In addition, the Constitution requires a neutral application under the law. And these restrictions are both content and arguably viewpoint impermissible. Why? Because they are not being neutrally applied against every citizen in the state of California. So that is a predicate for the California state's approach to churches to withstand constitutional scrutiny. But I think there's more to it than that. I think the left has always placed churches in the target zone because they want to diminish the rights, the constitutional rights, particularly of Christians, because they see many Christians opposing their particular agenda. And so they want to shrink the reach and the power of churches in California. And without filing a lawsuit, churches would be required to shrink in terms of their influence in California. And this is an approach which has been supported by leftists over the last 20 to 30 years. And with respect to certain leftist groups, this is an explicit part of their platform, their approach to transform the nation beyond any recognition provided by the founders of the country.
You know, it's interesting also, we've got, there are some of the plaintiffs in this are also Jewish synagogues, because chanting, the cantor is the chanter, is an integral part of the worship experience. And that kind of tells you that this is an attack. It is an attack on religion. There's no other way to say it. I mean, that's exactly what this is.
Yeah, I want to go to Michael's call in California online, too. He's calling from the state. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael.
Well, it's good to be here with you, and I'm a supporter of the ACLJ. I have a question, a comment about this whole situation. The question is this, isn't this equal to the IRS targeting conservatives, whereas the governor is targeting religious and conservatives?
Okay, so let me answer that question. So it's the same principle, different ramifications. There you had an entire federal agency put its sights on conservative organizations, pro-life groups. I mean, you had an agency. Now here you got an agency of government impacting one aspect of the church, which is an integral aspect, which is the worship experience. With the IRS, they were denying the ability for those organizations to even function as corporations or as enterprises or as worship centers or whatever the church, whatever religious organization was involved there. So it's in that sense, it's markedly different. Hey, Than, last, before we end this segment of the broadcast, anything breaking in Washington, or is it pretty quiet right now on legislation? Just a little bit of a check before
quiet.
We go to break.
It's quiet, Jay, but I would suggest to you that this Gavin Newsom is probably following the direction of Washington, D.C. I remember what Jim Clyburn said. It's an opportunity to transform society more to our liking. Jay, I think this is an example of what that is.
Well, this is, to me, it's just demeaning to religious people. This whole time period, it's been demeaning to religious people. It's been treated differently. It's been treated like something you don't really need. It's something, oh, well, we can stop the singing there. It's not that important. Enough is enough. If you don't stand up now, with this pandemic continuing, if you don't stand up now, the rights are just going to keep being taken away from you. So stand up at ACLJ.org. Let's get to 50,000 that petition and support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow for our second half hour. If you're just joining us, we went back to and we pulled just a few weeks ago, California put out guidance you can't file lawsuits against. Recommendations you might not like, but you can't file lawsuits against because they don't mean anything. They are things that the state is suggesting to do, but not requiring to do, no enforcement. And so just back in June 12th, it said, strongly consider discontinuing singing, group recitation, and other practices and performances where there's increased likelihood for transmission. I go to a church where if you took out group recitation, that would be like the entire service almost, except for a very short sermon, that there's almost always recitation going on, if not singing going on. But they said, modify practices, limit the number of people reciting or singing, ensure physical distancing. Okay, we've seen all that before. And just 3 weeks later, California looks the same, text is the same, comes from the same department in California, which is the California Department of Public Health. Now it's places of worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities. No exceptions. Even outdoor attendance is talked about being limited. And it doesn't give exceptions there about singing and chanting activities. When you talk about singing and chanting activities and you make a mandate out of it, you are inviting a legal challenge. Mandates invite legal challenge, and that is exactly what we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice. So if you support standing up against California here in this attempt to mandate that churches stop singing, that other religious groups stop chanting, that basically you ban the practice of religion in California, join with us at the American Center for Law and Justice. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you donate online is doubled. We have donors ready to match your donation. You can do that at aclj.org the entire month of July. That's at aclj.org. And on top of that, we've got a petition. This petition is getting close to 50,000 people in 24 hours that say don't ban singing in church. A very simple petition. Now it's over 47,000 people have signed on. Let's get to 50,000 by the end of the broadcast today, which means those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, share that petition with your friends and family. Share this broadcast with your friends and family. Go to aclj.org and sign the petition now.
You know, we got a lot of interesting comments have come in on Facebook, and I want to read a couple of those to you. Jackie writes, thank you, ACLJ, for the quick response. Look, we've been very particular about what we were going to challenge or not challenge. This is one we felt we had a challenge. Fortunately, our good friend Bob Tyler, who heads up Advocates for Faith and Freedom in California, who we've, I think, worked with for two decades, is with us on these cases, and we're going to be doing these together, and he does great work. I'm going to have him on the broadcast this week once we file the lawsuit, maybe tomorrow, because we may be filing tomorrow morning, so or at least West Coast time, but we'll have Bob on to discuss it. So that's why we're here. I mean, like I said, we didn't jump on all these cases. When it got one like this, we said, okay, time to act. I mean, we've given legal advice to literally dozens and dozens of churches over the last 5 months. You can understand that. We had another one came in. The California government, this is from Shirley, the California government wants to control churches but not protests. Apparently that's the case. And I support the right of the protesters to protest, including, by the way, singing and chanting. Now, if there is a mask requirement there, they should wear the mask. If there was a mask requirement inside the church, or if that would help the situation, wear the mask. But they have the right to do it, but yes, this is targeting, Shirley. Tama writes, I'm afraid this is just the beginning for California. That's why we're going to court, because we don't want to give this a chance to become a precedent. Well, we got this, now let's, next thing's easy. You know what? We're just not comfortable with the church's meeting. We're okay with you going to the grocery store, the department store. They kept liquor stores open as essential businesses during this, but the church, synagogues, we don't think that's such a great idea. That's the government.
It's an essential, but the small mom and pops that sold the same things,
which
weren't.
Is like most of the economy.
And so I think that, you know, you always look for where is the line where you're going to take action, and when you're not going to see a quick enough reversal. You know, a lot of states quickly reversed a lot of these, but you didn't even have to go to court. Others lost so badly in court very early during this pandemic that they can't restrict anything at all. And so we looked for what is the right way to engage. This is the right way to engage. So support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We have a matching challenge right now. That means you double the impact of your donation. We have a donor ready to match your donation. But you've got to take that initial action. Donate online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular Live. This is Jordan Secular. We're going to start taking some of your phone calls now. We're also going to be joined by Wes Smith with the American Center for Law and Justice, who is also an Episcopal, priest. Because he is an Episcopal priest, I think that this is unique because, and I attend an Episcopal church, and so, and a member of Episcopal church, and so much of the service is not just singing and chanting, but it is together. And this was mentioned in the first guideline. Now, this was a guideline, but it is recitation, group recitation, which is just as loud and is just as...
Are they banning the group recitation?
Well, so in this new one, they have not banned group recitation. They have said it's specific to singing and chanting. So I'm not... Now, in the first one, they recommended no group recitation or limiting group recitation. So we'll see. But I want to take Rick's call first in Montana on line three. Rick, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Sure. Praise God for you. My question and huge concern is what's to keep them from labeling a minister or a pastor bringing a sermon as chanting?
Oh, listen.
We
were just talking about that because in some churches, liturgical churches, even the delivery of the homily is done in such a way with emotion. I'll go right to Wes Smith on this. I think it's perfect. That I don't know if it's necessarily singing or chanting, but what's the? It's a half a step away from that. And Wes, this idea that you're separating out the recitation and the worship and the chanting from the worship service itself, it's very dangerous.
Absolutely, and it's unprecedented. You know, I had real reservations and questions when a number of mayors and governors have been trying to restrict, you know, how many people can go to church, how many can gather in a building. That sets off some alarm bells for me. But this California case goes way beyond that. It's not only how many people can gather in your building, it's the free exercise of religion is at stake. What you can actually do, you know, when you're in the building. The COVID pandemic has brought about the imposition of extraordinary measures, and I get that, and I think religious people get that, religious leaders get that, but we have to be attentive to civil liberties, to religious freedom, and that any restrictions are generally applicable to all businesses and activities, and they don't exhibit discrimination, and that's not what is happening here. Now, I was reading over a memo just researching for radio today. William Barr, on a memo to U.S. attorneys on April 27th, made the statement the Constitution is not suspended during a time of crisis. You know, that's a blinding flash of the obvious. Yeah. But what's happening is protests and some shopping venues, like you said, liquor stores, secular activities, they cannot be given a pass while religious groups are not giving a pass. Restrictions and orders have to be neutral when applied to secular versus religious activities. And you're talking about the church activities. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm a member of the Diocese of Atlanta. You know, individual pastors and bishops and rabbis and other religious leaders, they are making various restrictions depending on their congregations. Sure. Locally, they have the authority to do this, but the government has absolutely no authority to dictate religious practices and conduct in a religious building. I can't imagine, Jay, a more plain and egregious transgression against the First Amendment and the religious freedom that is foundational to our constitutional republic, and it simply cannot stand. As you said earlier, it is actually targeting churches, and the integrity as well as the authority of our Constitution is on the line here in this matter.
No, it really is, Wes. I want to go to Than Bennett, because Than, I'm thinking right now, I know things are very, and I think it'd be important for people to understand, the summer is always slower in Washington, generally. I mean, they're not in recess. July is usually pretty active. August is recess. But I think, look, we know we're dealing with a very serious situation with this pandemic. What is Washington? Tell people what Washington, D.C. is like right now.
Yeah, well, Washington, D.C. has been the epicenter of both of these things, Jay. I mean, the COVID pandemic has been big here. Obviously, there have been protests. There have been demonstrations. It's been hot and heavy in that sense. You know, Jay, both the House and the Senate are back in their districts for 2 weeks. But in many ways, that's where a lot of the plans that are developed in Washington, D.C. play out. I mean, I mentioned earlier Jim Clyburn talking about this being an opportunity to transform. And I think about the statement that the D.C. Advisory Board put out as well. They called this a once-in-a-generation opportunity to thoughtfully build toward a more equitable, resilient, and vibrant city. Jay, that's what pushes governors like Governor Newsom to do what he has done. And I would just go back maybe real quickly. About 6 weeks ago, we broke the news that President Trump had declared places of worship essential, because as the reopening started, governors like Governor Newsom did not want to treat places right of worship as essential. That federal guidance, Jay, was key. But in order for them to follow it, it's actually got to trickle down to these regulations we're talking about today. So while the members might not be here, Jay, their impact is still being felt on this.
Is there a sense, Than, that this pandemic is a change that could have some permanent ramifications? I think it does. We'll talk about that on future programs, but I want to get your sense. Like even in the House and Senate rules.
I don't think there's any question but that there is. There's already been a change as far as proxy voting in the United States House. I think that that will continue for the rest of the calendar year. I don't think you will see a majority of the House of Representatives present in Washington, D.C., probably until there's a vaccine, Jay. But yeah, I think there's going to be a new normal. And look, we've said this too. I mean, we want people to be responsible, but many of those decisions properly should be made by the congregants. And of course, they have to, the government can't apply them in a discriminatory fashion.
No question. You know, on May 12th of this year, Jordan and I were right here in the studio. I'm pointing to the area where we were. I don't know if we got a shot of that. It's just kind of the open area. But we had a podium up there, and I argued a case at the Supreme Court of the United States right behind that chair. We had a podium. And, we had some American flags behind us, and we argued a case to the Supreme Court of the United States, and Jordan and I sat in this room, and when the court came in session, we stood up like you're supposed to do, and then I went and made the argument. Jordan was helping me with documents and whatnot. There's another case that we're going to have at the Supreme Court, likely for the president, involving that whole issue of the Emoluments Clause. Probably, my guess would be filed, you know, in the next 30 or 45 days, probably argued in November or December. I don't think they're going to be back.
Doesn't appear like it.
I mean, I think we're going to be doing it by phone again.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but I mean, it's at least they did it.
I think that, you know, Florida just now said that schools must go back.
Okay. Can I say something on that?
And I don't know. I think that's trying to give people something so they can plan for life.
So.
Because it was, as I said, we get back out of July 4th. I got the email today, too, from my daughter's school.
With
lots of caveats, but you know, we're going to try to go back. And that is so people can try to make plans for life.
And look, for the economy's sake, I think it's important that if schools return, if they can. And yes, and mental health. But it's all, everything. I think, you know, Wes, the thing is, you're in the military. You always have to have a plan B. There has to be a contingency.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and that's understandable and that's reasonable. But I think the left is using the pandemic to gain more government control. And think about it, the American people, and thankfully the ACLJ is helping people to do this, they need to stand up and take note of this, that basically what some states and mayors are saying is that you can walk down a grocery store aisle, but you can't walk down the aisle of a church. Mm. That you can go outside and chant and scream and yell and sing in a protest, but you can't sing in a church or a synagogue. This is unprecedented, and again, it simply cannot stand.
No, that's what Wes said is really true. I mean, it's true. You can constitutionally go to the streets and sidewalks and protest and chant and sing and walk down the street, but you cannot do the same activity inside a church, even if you limit the numbers, even if you socially distance, even if you wear a mask. You can't walk down that aisle, chant, or sing. And that tells you where the constitutionality issue here has been raised, and that's why the ACLJ is engaged in it. All right. You want to try to get a call before the break, or you want to wait?
Let's go. Let's take them when we come back. We'll take the calls in our last segment of the broadcast.
I've got a good question on Facebook.
Yep.
And this would be for you. There's three concerns. One is this just the beginning in California? Two, wouldn't the church-state separation say, leave the church alone here? And number three, when do you think you're going to be filing the suit? I'll answer the number three. Probably filing the
probably
suit tomorrow.
So probably tomorrow. Church-state separation, those who agree with that idea, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution at all, but those who agree with it, it's a one-way street. It's only the church out of government, not the government out of church. They agree that the church can be highly regulated by the government. They just don't want the church having anything to do with government. So that's why they don't have any issue with that. On the left, those who espouse this idea of church-state separation as if it is in our Constitution, which it's not. Is it just the beginning in California if you don't stop it? California typically takes on extreme legal measures that look extreme to most of the country, and then 20 years later, you have the same law in your state. If it wasn't stopped. That's why at the American Center for Law and Justice, we said, we're gonna do everything we can to stop this, that this is not right, that California cannot target churches, cannot come after just religious groups and say, well, now we're going to mandate you must stop singing, you must stop chanting, we're going to make sure we're going to take out most of your religious services. So now they're picking and choosing what parts of religious services are okay. That is not allowed under our Constitution. It's not acceptable. It's something we cannot, it's something you just can't let go. Because if you do, you're giving the government that much power over your church and how you worship. Stand with us, the American Center for Law and Justice. Sign the petition at aclj.org and donate today. Double the impact of your donation. We have a matching challenge, a great time to support our work as we prepare to go to court tomorrow at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, we're going to go right to the phones. Yolanda calling in from Colorado on line four. Yolanda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to make a point. I'm a U.S. citizen, born in Venezuela, and I became a U.S. citizen in 2009. My family live in Venezuela right now.
Yes.
They're fighting for democracy. And let me tell you, once you lose the democracy, it's hard to get it back. The point about all this is control. It's control of our rights. When I become a U.S. citizen, they teach you to respect the Constitution, to respect the flag, to respect the people in the United States. That is what they teach us when we become a U.S. citizen. And to me, this is very personal because my family, people in Venezuela, they're dying to be able to get their democracy back. And it took 20 years. And little by little, the governor, they're going to take our rights. And if we don't open our eyes right now, we will come like a Venezuela. And let me tell you, people, what they need to do is open their eyes and fight. It's not about if they're open or not, or if we have to wear masks or not. It's the control. We don't have a choice. And when you lose your choice in a democracy, it's done. I mean, people need to open their eyes and vote. Vote this November, because we have a president who loves this country and fight for us. And I'm very proud to be a U.S. citizen.
Well, Yolanda, thank you. I appreciate you calling in. And let's send put Yolanda on hold. I want to send her a couple of our books. She's been on the line for a long time. There's nothing I can add to what you said other than you're exactly correct. And that's why, look, I get the mask situation. I carry one. I wear one. Okay? I understand that protests should be allowed. That's free speech. Masks might be appropriate for those in some locales. If the governors say that, content neutral, time, place, and manner, fine. But this targeted prohibition is exactly how you do lose democracy.
Yes. I mean, we are the live free or die country, right? I mean, New Hampshire has its state motto, but it's live free or die. It's to take away freedom, it's better to die. Better to have death. And Yolanda and her story about Venezuela is that perfect example of what you mean by a statement like that. When you begin to lose your freedoms, and I would say rapidly, under these pandemic situations, under changing circumstances, where you are reasonably afraid. It's reasonable to have fear right now, but you've got to remember what principles we stand under in our country. And live free or die is not just something you see on a flag. It's not just something to wear on a rally. It means something in America. It means you take the risk of freedom, because it is better to live free and die free than it is to live under tyranny and have no choices and not be able to make the decisions about if you're going to wear a mask or not. You can make those decisions. But this idea, or if you're going to attend the church, no one's forcing you to attend it. Nothing's forcing you to have singing at your church. Your church could decide, we're not going to have singing right now because of maybe we're concerned or we're having a spike.
They're going to keep it online. That's fine.
That's still live free or die, because it's their freedom. But I believe we've forgotten that what that truly means in America. We've gotten pretty weak, pretty wishy-washy, and it's a time to remember what live free or die actually means. Let's go to Gloria in Los Angeles on line one. Gloria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gloria.
Hello. I believe Nancy Pelosi's hands are all over this with her nephew, our governor. But thing is, I am very afraid of this, because with our church, singing is a very, very great part of our church.
Yep.
And if they can stop this and they can keep us wearing masks for how long, I don't think they're ever going to make us stop wearing masks, because they're going to keep pushing the goalposts back on everything.
Yeah, Gloria, let me ask you a question. First of all, I did not realize that Gavin Newsom was related to Nancy Pelosi. So Gloria, you educated me there, and everybody's saying yes, so something I did not know. On your particular, look, I think churches are making decisions. Some churches are still keeping their services online because they're not comfortable having them in person yet. I understand that completely. They have the right to do it. Some churches are saying if you come to church wearing a mask. Some states are mandating if you're inside, you wear a mask. I understand those too. I think those are reasonable. What is your church doing?
Well, what we're doing is we're so social distancing that hardly anybody is coming to church. They're just too afraid.
Yep.
And they're saying, well, let's just not, have the band come out. And, yep. And then what? And then the pastor is way far away because he's so afraid to get anybody sick. And
I think you have to respect that, too. I think part of freedom is the ability for the church as an institution to decide that's the way we're going to do it. The pastor and the leadership of the church say, you know what, we're going to have our services inside now. We're going to go inside. We're not going to just do them online or outside. But what we're going to do is I'm going to stand, another 20 feet back. There's an amplification system. We're not going to have the band come because we don't want that in the air. I think that's perfectly fine. The individual church should have the ability to make that decision.
And by the way, we've hit over 50,000 people on our petition right now. It's at 50,447 signatures of the petition. Don't ban singing in church. That is in 24 hours, folks. We launched that petition while we were on the air yesterday. So as you're hearing this, that's 24 hours, over 50,000 of you have already signed that petition at ACLJ.org.
I was going to say, Thin, you deal with petitions all the time. That is an impressive number in 24 hours. It'll be much more than that. Now, we could take this petition, also understand this, to the Department of Justice, okay, and say that although this is directed towards California, the Department of Justice says they're monitoring these issues of religious liberty. Yep. We have one here we're very concerned about. Thin?
Well, let me tell you two things. I mean, I think the Department of Justice has a role here because the commander-in-chief has said that places of worship are essential. And Governor Newsom, in my view, is violating that with this order. The other thing that we will do, Jay, is we will target the California delegation, Republican and Democrat alike, with this. Because, look, I don't think this is an issue that at the grassroots level, I think the petition demonstrates this, Jay. At the grassroots level, I think Republicans and Democrats are going to be offended by the overstepping that Governor Newsom has done here. You won't find much offense on the left in Washington, D.C., I will tell you that. But, Jay, if you go to their constituency, if you go to the people that are in those pews and in those congregations, I can guarantee you they're going to be upset by this. So here in Washington, we'll target the California delegation. And, Jay, I do think we need to look at the Department of Justice to see if this is in violation of the president's order.
I think that's exactly right. Thanks, Dan. So when you sign those petitions, folks, it has real impact. And as Jordan said, it's over 50,000 in 24 hours. Very impressive.
Yeah, that's right.
Try to take the last call.
Yeah, Robin, final call of the day out of Virginia, line 6. Robin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much. I listen to different radio stations and news stations than you guys. And just to offer something hopeful and helpful, I don't hear, and this is what has come to me some in the last week, that a lot of people are holding everybody to past actions and failures. And really, America, whether it's talking about our own president's history as an individual person, but America was based on new chances, right?
Yep.
Second chances, forgiveness, redemption, even when they first released the prisoners here years ago. And now it seems like they just want to hold us to, like, everything is about labels and judgment.
Yes,
and I just feel like
we are a dangerously labeled society right now. I mean, partisan politics is one thing to say partisan politics of Republican, Democrat, but now it's gotten past that. It's like, we're starting to judge founding fathers based off the morals of 2020 and what they were doing in 1776. Not great. Not a good way to judge. Read your Bible. That will be banned too, because they won't like what was going on in the Bible. They won't like even leaders who were considered good leaders in the Bible. See, that's the dangerous steps you take. Remaking of society by this judgment-based, insane application of morality and changing morals, some which it's good to evolve. It's good to get past certain societal evils. But to judge everyone based off those is absurd. It is dangerous. Is it live free or die anymore in the United States of America? Just ask yourself that today. Everybody's got plenty of time in their afternoons. Live free or die anymore? Go to ACLJ.org, support our lawsuit against California.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.